Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Talk about it. That's poet Mary Oliver, and this is Everyday Wonder, a podcast where we turn down the volume on all the shouting that's going on these days so we can talk about the things that really matter. I'm Brett Will Taylor, and I am here with my Everyday Wonder co-host, Renee Peck.
Hello, Brett Will.
And, of course, our forever guest, the City of New Orleans. And today is going to be just the three of us, just Renee, New Orleans, and me. And the reason for that is because when we first had the idea for a podcast called Everyday Wonder, I knew one of our very first episodes would be about ritual, which made me very excited because I love rituals. I mean, after all, they're a really useful way to access wonder. So imagine my surprise when my fabulous and much loved and much talented co-host, Renee Peck, told me that, well, Renee, how did you feel about ritual?
I didn't get it. I see ritual in church sacraments and rites. I appreciate them. You sent me a wonderful article about rituals in Bali and how so many people there burn little slips of paper with prayers on them. And while I can appreciate that, there's a disconnect for me. I didn't get it.
Right. So Renee Peck, wonder buster.
Gee, thanks.
Right, that's it. Now, like I said, ritual to me and over time is a very tried and true way to experience wonder. So while we're not here to try to convince Renee or any of you listening of that truth, Renee and I did think we might use this episode to let her really sit in the journalist seat and ask questions and see if maybe over 20, 25 minutes, we can't shift even a little bit how Renee and maybe some of you think about ritual.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So Renee, you're up.
Ritual is defined in the dictionary as a ceremony consisting of a series of actions performed according to a prescribed order. So I didn't really think about that until you said to me one day that ritual is about structure and structuring our beliefs. Talk about that a little bit, because that began to resonate with me.
Well, you know, that came from the first paragraph of a chapter that Joseph Campbell wrote on ritual. And in the middle of that paragraph was a sentence of three words, which is, life is structure. And I think that's such an exquisite sentence, and it's also very true. And, you know, if you want to pull back for a second, all of us listening, everything that is even remotely alive is nothing but energy and matter. So if you do not put structure around that, you cannot make sense of anything. And the same goes for ritual. To me, ritual is a conversation with a mystery, a God, a consciousness that no one can explain, but many of us have experienced. But you have to put a structure in order to have that conversation. Ritual as structure is, you know, really just about how you're going to do it. And it can be in a church, but it can also just be sitting around a table talking about something called wonder.
Well, you know, I guess that's where I would like you to expound a little bit on it, because for those of us who do not perform rituals in our daily lives, describe to me what some of your rituals are and why they're meaningful.
You know, Renee, that is such a good question. I do some of the tried and true structured things. I still turn over tarot cards, however you pronounce it, from time to time. I usually do some sort of a ritual around the moon, the full moon and the new moon, because that is both peaks and valleys. But I think at least my favorite ritual, and I know that wasn't quite your question, but I think my favorite rituals are those that just sort of unfold on their own. And I'll give you an example. One ritual I do is I walk every day, and I tend to walk with awareness. And when I was walking this morning, I noticed these random little purple weedy things in a patch of grass, and they hooked my attention. And what I've learned over the years is to not try to solve the riddle of why, but just to notice them and know that if there's some message, it will come in its own time. So I finished my walk, and I kind of did turn around once or twice and glance at the purple weeds. And I went back to the house, and I finished my coffee, and I had a shower, and I was getting ready, and I kept feeling the need to go open a book by Walt Whitman that happened to be on the coffee table. And I pay attention to those things these days. So I go and I open the book to Walt Whitman, which I brought with me. It's his complete poems. It's no small volume. And when I opened the book, I opened it to this page, Song of the Open Road. And it begins like this. Afoot and lighthearted, I take to the open road. Healthy, free, the world before me. The long brown path before me leading wherever. Henceforth, I ask not good fortune. I myself am good fortune. Henceforth, I whimper no more. Postpone no, not nothing. You, road, I enter upon and look around. I believe you are not all that is here. I believe that much unseen is also here. And for me, that's what those little purple weeds were trying to tell me, is that there is to not forget as I go through my life today, tomorrow, whenever, that there is much seen, but there is always much unseen. That is why we use the structure of ritual.
It makes me wonder, what part of ritual were the flowers? You walk every day, that's your ritual. Does your ritual change each day depending on what happens during it?
I guess what I would do is let's go back to where we started this, which is ritual is a structure that helps us have a conversation with the unknown, the mystery, with God. So the walk is the structure. The walk is the ritual. Within that structure today, I happen to see these random purple flowers.
Well, that makes me understand ritual a little better in that if you do things by rote over and over and over, this is why ritual doesn't work for me. You lose your awareness of what you're doing. So if you perform ritual with the attitude that different things can happen or be noticed when you're performing that ritual, that makes more sense.
And I think that's perfect. And I think the other two pieces I would add is, you know, what ritual does is it helps you get out of that very modern demand for instant gratification. And let's also remember that when I say, you know, ritual is a structure by which we have a conversation with the mystery or the unknown or God or whatever, we are talking metaphor here, people. I did not get on my hands and knees and say, well, hello, little purple weedy flowers. What message do you have for me today? First of all, because you do not ever get on your hands and knees in a New Orleans street. You could die. But also because that's not the point.
So for you, ritual became not just this sequence of motions or actions, but something more.
I think for me, I would say it became natural. It became simple, and it became as simple. And I really do believe it. I think there are some Zen Buddhists who say life is the meditation. I would borrow that and say life is the ritual. I think what I'm most passionate about when it comes to ritual is what none of us need to rely on is having a middleman. And let's be clear, it is usually a middleman. I do not think you need a man standing on a pulpit. I don't think you need a shaman in a sweat lodge in order to experience ritual. I think we all are born with the knowledge of how to do it. That is part of our eternal wisdom that shows up in our bodies.
Well, I appreciate that, but not being a shaman and not having wizard friends, I don't really know how to do it. So give me some advice. It sounds to me like if you're taking ritual as a way of putting structure around things you believe in, but the belief is part of it too. So how do you decide where to put ritual in your life, and how do you do that?
If your life is going great for you and nothing is missing, then don't worry about ritual. Keep doing what you're doing. But if there's a burning question you have, if something feels like it's missing, if there's something that makes you flinch and look away when you look at yourself in a mirror, then consider what ritual could do. It's whatever would work for you. I think there is no wrong way to practice ritual. However, I do think you have to practice. Ritual is not a one-and-done thing. Now, it's not mindless repetition, and the repetition doesn't have to be the same, But you do have to, you know, if you want the cosmos, if you want God, the mystery, whatever, to talk to you, you've got to show that you're going to show up.
Well, you know, you're talking about walking as a ritual, or you turn over a tarot card as a ritual. I walk, but for me, I don't see that as a ritual. Perhaps I should. When does a routine activity that you do repetitiously become ritual? When you infuse it with meaning?
When you're aware of it. You know, in our very first episode, Renee, you had this great line, which is, we all experience wonder in our lives. We're just not always aware of it. And I think we all, I truly believe that, again, mystery, God, consciousness is always in communication with us because we are it and it is us. Ritual is a structured way to be aware of it because it is huge, right? I mean, you know, if we want to sit here and be like, I want to talk to the collective consciousness that is the eternal nature of the universe, well, that's kind of a big assignment. How the hell do I do that? There are some native traditions, some indigenous traditions, where before you take your first bite of food, you thank the east, the west, the south, the north, above and beyond. And it is literally, and so I do it with a martini. And when I sit,
I like it. I think New Orleans would like this
exactly.
Too.
When I sit at Mr. B's, when I sit at the bar at Mr. B's Bistro and get ready to talk to my favorite bartender, Michael, I literally hold my martini and it takes this long for me to say, and then I take a sip. It's, you know, and in that silence, I'm thinking the east, the west, the north, the south, above and below.
To those of us brought up in the church, it sounds a little like prayer.
I think it is. I think my, you know, what I would say for me, the freedom of ritual for me now is in a church, prayer is dictated. You are told how to pray. And I think those are training wheels, but I don't think they're essential. There are people who I know believe you can only truly pray in a church. And I think the everyday wonder of where ritual is in modern society, where we now have access to information and don't have to depend on a bunch of grumpy old white guys who are doing God only knows what, is that you have a freedom to practice ritual.
So, Brett, Will, what is the relationship between ritual and ceremony? Because a lot of what I see as ceremony looks like ritual to me.
Yeah, I think ceremony is a form of ritual. You know, when we think ceremony, I think we generally think a formal ritual. I think we think of it as a group activity. And I think that's true. You know, I think going to a wedding is a ceremony. That is a ceremony of saying hello to a union. I think going to a funeral is a ceremony. That is a ritual of saying goodbye and also hello. So I think ceremonies are part of rituals. I don't think rituals have to only be ceremonies.
It sounds to me like what separates mindless repetitive behavior from ritual is intention. You have to be intentional about what you're doing and put some consciousness and self-awareness and thought into it?
I think so. But there was a time where I would have bolded or capitalized intention that the only way I can practice a ritual is if I have a question. And I think that's part of it. And I still do. You know, I was kind of in the dumps this morning. And so I had a ritual I structured a ritual conversation to see where that was and what I could do. But to me, fundamentally, universally, the truest intention is awareness. And if I intend to be aware of the present moment, ritual happens automatically. That itself is a ritual. But I remember sitting one day talking to you about the act and the awareness of when your grandson runs through your door, your front door, and jumps up to hug you.
No better feeling in the world.
And to me, that's a ritual. Because he crosses a threshold. He is running straight for you. And when you pick him up, it's just the two of you.
So in that definition, ritual is an action infused with meaning.
I think that's right. And I think the meaning can be both discerned and not discerned.
Is ritual relegated to the individual? Because a lot of rituals I see are collective, like the ones that in Bali or the ones in church.
Or the pre-gaming for the Saints. We're sitting here in New Orleans. Let's talk about all the rituals that go along with football. I think for me personally, certainly there are collective rituals, right? I mean, that's what church is. Politics, back in the day at least, was a ritual. Now it's probably a bad ritual. I guess my piece is always, are you present as an individual in that collective experience? Because that is the gift of life. You know, the gift of life is that we are individuals in a collective gathering. And I love the collective, but if you, you know, to me, the individual and the collective, I guess I would say, has to be in balance. If your ritual is only about seeing a little purple weed and you share it with no one, then that's not really a ritual because you're only connected with your ego. But if you're out in the collective and you don't receive the gift of being individually present for that, I don't think that's a ritual. Or at least I think you're leaving a lot of the ritual on the table. Does that make sense?
It does. It absolutely does. When you talk about rituals like wearing a certain jersey for the Saints or those kinds of things that we, maybe a ritual is not going under a ladder. What's the difference between ritual and superstition? Where do you get the meaning in ritual that makes it, that lifts it above simply doing something superstitiously, like knocking on wood, just in case the fates are listening?
So that's such a great question because I am superstitious in small ways, most of them taught by my grandmother. So I will not leave, I don't leave a hat on the bed. I don't leave clothes on the bed. My partner will tell you that if I am walking in conversation with you, I will almost contort myself or break a leg, to make sure that a post doesn't go between us. So given that, I think the difference is superstition is based in fear. And I think ritual is based in hope and believing. And that's it. Both are about there's something other than you. But I think you do superstition because you're spooked and you're afraid to live. And
I think belief is a part of it, too.
I think, yes, and it is. And ritual is the same, but ritual, you have hope.
Well, yeah, I think a ritual incorporates belief in a way superstition maybe does not. Superstition, you do it just in case. I don't know that you really believe if you don't knock on wood or you put leave clothes on the bed, something bad is going to happen.
Oh, it would happen. My grandmother would come down from wherever the hell she is,
okay,
either
I stand
down
corrected.
Or up. Yeah, but it, again, that to me is it's fear-based, you know?
Yes. The structure you're putting around your actions that makes it become ritual is really just thoughtfulness.
Yeah, and heartfulness. You know, it's funny. You've asked me before, what do I get out of ritual? And I could be the shaman on high and say, I get to talk to God. I find now ritual makes me happy. You know, we live in this world today, and then again, the American piece is that you get a reward. You know, that you're going to reach into the bottom of that Cracker Jack's box and there's a prize for practicing ritual. I don't believe ritual works that way. I don't believe mystery works that way. And if you're looking to bargain with God or outsmart God or the cosmos, you're going to probably have a rude awakening, as my mother would say. But if something's not there in your life that you wish was, if you feel somehow incomplete, even if you can't articulate it, try ritual. Or for me, again, if you just want to have joy in your life.
It sounds very unstructured in the way you say it. Now, I know it's
structure without structure.
Structure,
right.
There you go. Because whether you're talking about the Japanese tea ceremony, which is very ritualistic and structured and for an entire culture gives meaning to a simple act of drinking tea, or whether you're talking to smoking ceremonies in Native American sweat lodges.
Yeah. Well, see, this is where I'm different from other shamans maybe, or different from other people who practice this because, you know, and I mean, a Japanese tea ceremony, if some of you all have never seen that, is an exquisite ritual to experience. But when I am practicing a Japanese tea ceremony, I am tracing or retracing someone else's steps to wonder. And that's a training wheel. And there's value, but I don't think that's quite it. One of my all-time favorite lines And my whole journey comes from Osho, a very imperfect man, to be sure. But the line is, there is one Christian, Christ. There is one Buddhist, Buddha. Build your own path to your own temple. And if you are trying to find a structure to do that, create your own rituals.
I love it. It motivates me and hopefully those out there listening to try. And we certainly are in a city where ritual is part of the tapestry, the threads that weave this magical tapestry where we are. And I think that those of us who live in New Orleans who know its past understand that ritual was a big part of that past and probably is a part of that present too. So,
and you know, and New Orleans has been enormously helpful to me with that, Renee, because I moved to New Orleans from Boston, and you know, there's no more cerebral, rational place than Boston, Massachusetts, even after all these years. And New Orleans, you know, New Orleans taught me the truth of a great quote from Thomas Merton, who wrote this about Taoism. And it is that we can never understand life, we can only experience it. And I can't tell you how many nights I sat on my stoop in the Treme with folks who were not here anymore, like Debbie Cotton and many who still are, who when I would ask questions, say it's like this, would just say, shut up, you know, just experience. Just keep your mouth shut and be present here. And I think rituals like that, you know, you be quiet, you know, create a structure, but the structure is not so you can talk to the mystery, it's so the mystery can talk to you.
It's opening ourselves up. You know, yes. It's interesting. I think that there are two qualities to New Orleans, if you're going to personify New Orleans, that lend themselves to what you're talking about. One is that we do talk about how we live in the moment here. We don't pay.
Absolutely.
We don't think about the past. We don't think about the future. We just enjoy the moment. And I think also we're a city where the heart excels over the mind, whereas in Boston, as you said, it's kind of a mind cerebral city. And I think here we're more of an emotion heartfelt city. And if I could extrapolate lessons from what you're saying, it sounds like if you just live in the moment and pay attention and open yourself to the universe, there are actions we can do. There are repetitive things we can do that might help us get there. But by doing them with intention and thoughtfulness and heart, it will teach us something.
Just see what catches your eye, even for a second, and follow that, because that is, in many cases, whatever you define as mystery or God, trying to have a conversation with you.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about the digital age and the age of reason and Americans and how we seem to absorb and cater to that. I've done a bunch of online quizzes in this area, one of which is, what is my spirit animal? And it turned out to be a spider, which repulses me.
So it makes such sense.
Thanks a lot.
Well, spiders wove the first alphabet.
There you go.
You're a journalist, yeah.
But I do think that we try to intellectualize this.
Correct.
We try to take the quiz to find out the shortcut to get where we need to go. And I think all of us could use a little more ritual in our lives. How we get there is, I guess, up to us individually, which is what you're teaching us.
I think that's exactly right.
What would you leave the audience with as far as ritual, what it does for us, and where we take it?
I think to remember that ritual is not about being an expert. It is also not about having to have anyone tell you you're ready for it or control it. The ritual that we're talking about and that I would hope to leave people to think about is the ritual that is within you that is waiting to be expressed.
That's a lovely thought, and I will go there.
And so on that ritualistic note, let's go through the ritual of saying thanks to all of you for listening. And Renee, thanks as always for sitting here. And New Orleans, thank you. And we hope we're part of your ritual in about a week to listen to another episode of Everyday Wonder.
Thank you, Brett Will. The wild.